Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Shinoda et al. Titled, Brachial Artery Endothelial Function is Stable Across a Menstrual and Oral Contraceptive Pill Cycle, but Lower in Premenopausal Women than Age-Matched Men. This article was published May 4th, 2018. Joining me today are guest editor Milton Hamblin, lead author Maureen McDonald, and content expert Daniel Crédure. Let's get started.
Thank you very much, Kara. The goal of this study was to investigate how differences in sex hormones, particularly estradiol, between men and women and across cycle phases may influence brachial artery endothelial function. 53 healthy adults, broken down into men and women on the natural menstrual cycle, and also 18 women using third and fourth generation oral contraceptives, underwent assessments of sex hormones and endothelial and smooth muscle cell function. Changes in estradiol across a natural cycle were not associated with changes in relative flow-mediated dilation. Duration of oral contraceptives use was negatively associated with the average relative flow-mediated dilation for second-generation oral contraceptive users only. These findings suggest that brachial endothelial function is unaffected by cyclic hormonal changes in premenopausal women, but may be negatively impacted by longer-term use of second-generation oral contraceptive pills. Maureen, what made you perform this study?
Thanks so much, Milton. There were two reasons why we decided to conduct this study. One was that I had been asked to co-chair a grant review panel here in Canada for 2 years, and I had been directing in that role an encouragement, as you have in the U.S., to have more sex and gender considerations in most of our work in the life sciences. And despite being a female scientist myself, I looked back and realized that I'd been really not conducting very much in terms of sex or gender considerations in my own work, and almost exclusively including males as our participants in our studies. So we had decided already to try to engage in enrolling more females in our studies and looking at more sex-specific questions. One of the first studies, we were starting to look at the acute vascular responses to sprint interval exercise. And when we were designing the study, we sat down and tried to decide if we were going to control the phase of the menstrual cycle in the testing time, and if we were, which phase would we investigate? When Nanette Shinoda, the PhD student at the time, was looking at the literature, what we found that despite there being information available, most of the information had been conducted quite a while ago and not according to the current guidelines for assessing endothelial function in humans. And as well, there was virtually no information on if we should include women who were on oral contraceptive pills, what we would need to do to assess that. So both of those made us take a little step back and think, okay, there's some basic work to be done here in terms of reinvestigating this question of the influence of the natural menstrual cycle as well as oral contraceptive pill use.
Thank you, Maureen. Daniel, why is there so much excitement about this particular topic?
That's a great question. It's a very exciting topic. For some time now, there has been a push coming not only from journals such as those through APS, but also from funding organizations like the NIH to support biological sex-related research. If you look into the literature, for the longest time, a majority of the applied physiological research was performed primarily in young, healthy males. And this created somewhat of a gap in knowledge. More recently, this gap has been increasingly filled with important studies, such as the present one from Maureen's lab. What's important about the present study is that the results allude toward some modifications that we could potentially make in recruiting female subjects that could potentially increase the feasibility of including premenopausal women into these types of study designs.
Thank you, Daniel. Maureen, what made you examine the function of the brachial artery in humans?
In my lab, we're exclusively focused on understanding the regulation of vascular function in humans. And we often use either acute exercise or chronic exercise to alter that vascular system and look to understand the control mechanisms. There's two reasons why we chose the brachial artery. One is that it is a fairly accessible artery in terms of the tool that we use to assess endothelial function, that is ultrasound. Because of the location of the artery and the capacity that we can alter the flow by applying a blood pressure cuff distal to the artery and change the shear stress profile through the artery. The other one is that there were some foundational studies that were conducted identifying that the responses of the endothelium in the brachial artery can be used as a valid and reproducible surrogate for coronary artery endothelial function, which of course being the function, the capacity of the coronary arteries to dilate and supply blood to the heart muscle are crucial when we look at the overall function of the human body.
Maureen, what is the significance of short-term use of oral contraceptive pills on brachial artery endothelial function in young premenopausal women?
We found that brachial artery endothelial function did not change either across a pill cycle in oral contraceptive pill use of second, third, or fourth generation pills, and didn't differ from naturally cycling women. So in that, it seemed that short-term use of oral contraceptive pills, there was no negative impact on endothelial function that we could assess. In fact, the oral contraceptive pill use short-term resulted in the endothelial function being similar to the young men who we used as a comparison, while the naturally cycling women had a lower endothelial function in comparison to those two groups.
That's quite interesting, Maureen. What is the anticipated cumulative effects of long-term use of oral contraceptive pills?
We were quite surprised by this portion when we started to investigate what had been previously examined in this area, that there was so little work done in terms of endothelial function and long-term use of oral contraceptive pills. There was a variety of indications that there may be some negative effects, but in our hands, prolonged use only of the second generation oral contraceptive pills, but not the third or fourth, was associated with a reduction in endothelial function. We're not actually sure why it was the second generation pills, but there have been some other indications that they have the most androgenic effects. They've been shown previously to have some effects such as increasing blood pressure, altering lipid profiles, and that might be fairly specific to that group. Our females that we assessed had been using oral contraceptive pills in a range of 5 to 72 months, and so we can only address the responses within that range of time of use.
Thank you very much, Maureen. We spent a little bit of time earlier in this discussion talking about the assessment of endothelial function under brachial artery. But Maureen, what were your results of your study in terms of oral contraceptive pills and smooth muscle cell function?
This is also an interesting area to us because as we're looking to adhere to the best practices in assessing endothelial function, it is, of course, the capacity in the test that we use of the lining of the blood vessel to respond and generate vasodilatory factors that then result in the relaxation of the smooth muscle. Yet, of course, that can only happen if the smooth muscle has the capacity to relax. So we conducted in these studies an independent test of the relaxation of the smooth muscle by providing an exogenous nitroglycerin, basically nitric oxide donor, and assessed the smooth muscle relaxation capacity that way. In these tests, we found that the smooth muscle function assessed through the nitroglycerin test was lowest in the naturally cycling women versus the oral contraceptive pill use women and the men. So we found no effect of oral contraceptive pill use on smooth muscle cell function.
Thank you, Maureen. Daniel, do you have any questions for Maureen regarding this very provocative study?
I do have some questions. Maureen, your new results demonstrate that endothelial-dependent dilation in women is maintained throughout the menstrual cycle, but it's actually lower than matched males. Could there be any clinical implications for this difference in artery function between age-matched men and women?
That's a really interesting question. And for Nanette Chanuta's PhD defense, Dr. Carrie Moreau, who's an expert in postmenopausal women, came to examine her thesis work. And I think this is really part of where we now need to investigate to look to see, again, the longer term impacts of oral contraceptive pill use. And in women, when it does change across that menopause transition, what that looks like in terms of the endothelial function. I think looking at that end of the scale and in longer term use then may give us some ideas of the clinical impacts of the differences that we saw between males and females in our study.
Thank you, Maureen. So as a follow-up, in terms of further assessing brachial artery function, particularly endothelial and smooth muscle cell function, what is your next step?
Well, at the foundational level, as we made some conclusions in this paper, we're encouraging more people to include young females in their studies, particularly in the area that we see in these integrative physiology studies. So we'll be doing that in my lab for sure as we move forward in a variety of our studies where we look at endothelial function, but our other assessments of vascular function as well. So we have a companion paper that's also published in AJP where we looked at arterial stiffness and some other vascular measures in the same cohort. As you indicated, we're looking to partner with some researchers to look at the more mechanistic level to see about the foundational results here. And I really think in particular that there's so much more to be done in the area of including women who are on oral contraceptive pills. In the reference that we have in the paper, we cited that there are estimates of over more than 67 million women worldwide using oral contraceptive pills. And certainly in terms of vascular, endothelial, and smooth muscle function, very understudied. So I think that's going to be an important area for future investigations.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Daniel, do you have any further comments or remarks about this study?
I applaud Maureen's laboratory for conducting this novel study. You all have demonstrated for the first time that brachial artery FMD does not change across the menstrual cycle or OCP cycle use in premenopausal women, but it's actually lower in women as compared to men. In addition, while not impacted by endogenous changes in estradiol, brachial FMD is also negatively correlated with the duration of OCP use for second-generation pill users. Overall, this evidence may once again improve on the feasibility of including young women into study designs such as this one to examine vascular function in humans.
Well, Maureen and Daniel, it's been a pleasure having this discussion about this very provocative, exciting study. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.